It's Dr. Eunice Kasim Vouda. He's my guest this evening, a former EFF parliamentarian. He comes from the province of Mpumalanga. Among every person whom we've known to have represented the EFF in Mpumalanga, he's among those that have been in the National Assembly representing the province. You know, Dr. Eunice joins us now. Doctor, good evening. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for making time.
Good evening to you, sir. May I greet you with salams and salams to your listeners as well. Sir, thank you very much for having us on your show.
Yeah. You know, looking at your tenure when you were still, you know, a parliamentarian, you know, coming from Mpumalanga, you know, having been voted in back in obviously 2014, I suppose, you know, talk us through, you know, that journey. Yeah. I mean, coming from Mpumalanga, obviously, you know, Mpumalanga with its challenges. What was it that was the mandate, at least from your constituency, to say what these are some of the things that we want you to represent when you get to the National Assembly?
Yes, Musa, you know, we must remember that at that stage, the EFF was just a new party. We had just formed the party in 2013, and we were already in parliament in 2014, which we, you know, we did excellently, we did very well. What was most important at the time for us as a party is to highlight the issues surrounding discrepancy between rich and poor in this country. A language that the poor welcomed and wanted to hear, but a language that the haves in this country needed to hear and still need to hear. You know, Musa, we have this huge discrepancy between rich and poor, and this needs to be addressed, you know, as a matter of urgency. Even now, this needs to be continuously highlighted. I mean, Musa, on the one side of the road, we have, you know, people driving around in posh motor cars. And then on the other side, we have children falling down toilet holes, you know. This is the South Africa, and this situation is not a very a very pleasant situation, and this is a big challenge facing us in this country. At the time, this was our task, and I do humbly believe that as the EFF, we are promoting and highlighting this and doing whatever needs to be done to redress this situation.
Doc, among the observations that you've made, I mean, back then, you highlighted that 50% of South Africa's population lived in rural areas, and, you know, urbanization was, however, growing. You know, talk us through, you know, coming from a Barberton area or coming from Mpumalanga in general, and you know Mpumalanga is somewhat of an indicative of that 50% that you mentioned back then. You know, do you think as a province we have somewhat progressed in also just bringing people who are from, you know, rural communities into this urbanized society, but also have we transformed the services of the rural areas of our province?
Yes, Musa, you know, Mpumalanga is a wealthy province, as you know. We have lots of potential in this province. As you know, as a party, you know, having people, we humbly believe that wherever the resources are and wherever the job opportunities exist, we believe that the people should be allowed to live in and around and surrounding that area. You know, to have a person work on a coal mine or on an oil producing or coal or petrol producing plant Cecil and so on, to have the person work there, but his family living 200 and 300 kilometers away, this is breaking down the fabric of society, which is the family life. This is not a conducive situation. So this is an issue that we will be needing to address, not only in the Mpumalanga province, but in South Africa as a whole. It comes from the pre-democratic era, and it still exists today to a large scale. This is not an acceptable situation.
Doc, among some of the projects that you've been part of, I mean, I remember there was a lobby group just before the University of Mpumalanga was built. I mean, there was somewhat of a lobby group that wanted the University of Mpumalanga to come to Barberton. I mean, obviously that lobby group included members such as yourselves and various others, business people as well, who are coming from at least the Barberton area, who were advocating for the university to have been built in Barberton. But talk us through that era. I mean, what are some of the hindrances that led to the university not being built in Barberton?
The Department of Higher Education at the time did set up a task team to look at the various sites available in Mpumalanga for the establishment of a university. Undoubtedly, Barbican did offer them the best site when it came with regard to accommodation, with regard to transport, accessibility, and so in that sense, we offered an excellent site in Barbican. Also, the university, Musa, would have been a world-renowned university because the Department of Geology, because of the old rocks on the mountains and so on, the geology department of the university would have been world-renowned. That would have made the university world-renowned. So we lost it here. And for political reasons, the site was chosen elsewhere. This was an unfortunate decision, but we do humbly believe the site is still available in Barbican, and I think it would be perfect for a satellite campus to be established in Barbican.
Mm. But, I mean, were there justifications to say why was the university not built there?
I'm not convinced up to now. I don't think that it was a decision that was made, a very rational decision. It was a purely political decision at the time and even now. And I don't think anybody, I challenge anyone to discuss this with us on an open platform and have a debate with us. And, we can prove very convincingly and without much effort that the site that was offered in Barbican was a far, far more superior site to the way the university has now been built.
Mm. I mean, coming from a medical profession, joining politics. Talk us through, I know we're just going drips and drips of, the work that you have done, but, how did you end up being a politician, or rather a member of the Economic Freedom Fighters? What really persuaded you to jump into politics? Because now we're talking about political interference, but I wanted to understand, your first relation with, this beast called politics.
Musa, anybody that has lived through the 1960s, the 70s, when I was a youngster and a child, exposed to what we were exposed to in the pre-democratic era, I think politics was definitely going to become part and parcel of anyone who had any kind of conscience. My family was always involved in one way or another in politics, and myself, I've always been very, very concerned, like I've already highlighted, about the issues surrounding at the time it was political discrepancy. Today it is socioeconomic discrepancy, and for me to enter politics, we were all very frustrated up to 2010, 2012, when the country, we had great hopes for South Africa, mm-hmm. and not being materialized. Also, South Africa was growing economically. The gross domestic product of the country had increased, but the people who needed it most were not seeing the benefits of this gross domestic product growth in this country. So, the reason for joining politics is the concern for, the masses in the country, the poor people in the country, the majority of the people in the country, and to see that people's lives were not really improving. It was very sad for all of us and of great concern for us in the EFF.
Yeah. Doc, there's also something also that you and I need to talk about. I mean, the issue of Barberton being amalgamated to the city of Mbombela. I mean, looking at it now, firstly, do you think that was a great idea?
Musa, in at the time, we at the EFF, we campaigned strongly against the amalgamation of what was then the Njindi municipality, which was a very viable municipality, a municipality that was financing itself and not in any kind of facing any kind of serious financial challenges, whereas Mbombela was almost bankrupt, if not bankrupt at the time. Hmm. Take a viable municipality and to amalgamate it with a municipality that was almost bankrupt, was asking for problems. And I think we are seeing that today. So at the time, we were against this decision, and we were even very much supportive of the Bring Back Njindi campaign, which you might recall a couple of years ago.
Yes.
And up to now, we feel that this decision was a poor decision, and we still stand by the fact that we believe Njindi should be given its independence again.
Mm. That Buyam Njindi campaign, a lot of people, and as well as you know, commentators have always weighed in and said that was what gave birth to the economic freedom fighters, especially in Barberton, and, you know, for them to even gain resonance with the people. Would you say that was the case?
Well, look, it's much more than that. Definitely, our support for the Bring Back Mzimbi campaign, but it's not only that. You know, the EFF speaks a language, and is you know, a language that that the masses in this country want delivery on, and it is this that is making the EFF popular and making the people support the EFF in a very big way. It is the language of the people, is the language of the oppressed, the socioeconomic oppressed of this country. And yes, we sincerely in the EFF would like to see delivery on these. So it is this plus many other factors. We also have very good leadership here in Barberton under Vusi Gogu. You might know him.
Yes.
And he's an excellent leader in the Mzimbi area. And but because of effort put in by him and many others, we see the growth of EFF in this area.
Doc, let's look into just the type of leaders or just the state of leadership in the province of Mpumalanga. You know, as a economic freedom fighters, or somewhat of a senior in the party, what do you view or what do you make of the type of leadership generally, be it on any other political front? What do you make of the type of leaders that we have in the province?
Let me speak, okay, first of all, as a member of the EFF, you might have heard that Colin Sidibe has once again been recently re-elected as the chairperson of the EFF in this province. Colin is the third election now. He's been re-elected for the third time. Colin is doing an excellent job. He is guiding the process and guiding what is still a very young party. He's giving excellent guidance to the party and helping the party to grow in this province. Mm-hmm. I think if the other parties can also look at the guidelines that are coming out of the EFF, I think we will see a much better province. Again, I'm going to say Mpumalanga is a province that has excellent potential. We have huge resources in this country, and there are opportunities. We just need to apply our minds in a constructive manner, and I think we can take this province to even greater heights, not only this province, Musa, but the country as a whole. You know, we have a wonderful country, and I'm still the supreme optimist, and I do still humbly believe that, yes, we can take South Africa to greater heights, and we can see improvement in what today is looking like very depressing times in this country.
Just maybe on the EFF part, I mean, Colin elected as the chairperson of the party for the third time. I mean, do you believe that, you know, within the party, there are no other leaders who could contest Colin and emerge victorious? Why do we still have, a one person in the party leading for almost about 12 years now? Is going on his 12th year, 10?
Now, it's not about that there are no other leaders. But Colin is an excellent leader. He's proving to do the things that, the national leadership would like to see him do. He's doing things at grassroots levels in this country. And because of this, it's not that there aren't other leaders, but I think the other leaders also respect the fact that Colin is doing such a good job and that they are backing him. He has the backing of the majority rank and file of the party. Mm. It is for this reason. Yes, there are many other leaders in the province, and under Colin's tutorship and under Colin's leadership, they will see themselves also eventually fulfill the positions and go to greater heights in the party as leaders. Inshallah.
Your constituency is Barberton. And, you know, looking at what has been going on in the country, I mean, the sudden rise in terms of illegal mining is just rife in the country. But I suppose Barberton is also not exempted from such, criminalities and whatnot. You know, as a leader of, you know, senior leader of a political party such as the Economic Freedom Fighters, what do you think government, even provincial government, should do to somewhat combat the illegal mining that is at least happening, you know, in that, you know, part of the town? You know, we know that there's quite a number of illegal mining activities going on about in Barberton, those who are currently illegally mining gold there. But talk us through, what do you envisage could be the solution?
Okay, Musa, you know, it's not only what you are calling illegal mining, but it's crime as a whole. Wherever we're going to have such a huge social economic discrepancy, crime is naturally going to follow. The stakes are very high. There are people in this country who are finding it difficult by the middle of the month to put a loaf of bread on the table. And this is the issue that is of greatest concern to us. As long as the governing party and the rest, and we do not do something to address the situation with regards to the increasing number of people that are living in this country below the breadline and are finding it difficult on a daily basis, as long as we're not going to do enough to redress this situation, we will find our crime rate increasing and issues such as what you're calling illegal mining, we will find these will be on the increase all the time. This is of great concern to us. And we believe that the best way to address this issue is to improve, you know, our before 94, we had political discrepancy in this country. We sat around the table and we redressed the issues surrounding political discrepancies. Today, what, 25 years, almost 30 years later, we still have huge socioeconomic discrepancy in this country. We need to seriously sit around the table, the political parties, the business parties, the rest of the social fabric of society, such as churches and so on. We need to sit around the table and look at how we can redress these socioeconomic problems in this country. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the socioeconomic systems that are in place today, Musa, are socioeconomic systems that were established before 94. And the socioeconomic systems established before 94, by their very nature, favored a minority group. And if we are still applying those socioeconomic systems today, then they are going to favor minorities. And the majority of our people in this country are going to be left out of the socioeconomic structures of this country. And therein lies the solution to our problems.
Dr. Eunice Kasim Vowder, thank you so much for availing yourself for us to have this brief chat. I understand that we might have gone over the time that we're supposed to have talked, but really, really enjoyed this chat. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Assalamu alaikum.